Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Well, good evening. It has certainly been an eventful weekend, and it will be an eventful week for some of our people that are leaving for Arizona in the morning, and I believe they said they have a flight out at 7:50 in the morning, so they have to get at the airport about 3 a.m. or something like that. You know how it is with airports. You have to get there crazy early to even make sure that you get through security, so be praying for them in every leg of their trip, as well as the evangelism efforts that they're going to have there. And we had a wonderful Easter morning, Easter Sunday. Some of the kids went and hunted some eggs and different things and had a good time with that. And before that, we had kids this morning still, big group this morning still at Lads to Leaders. It has been 15 or 16 years since I've been to Lads to Leaders, and my 35-year-old self forgot what my 19-year-old self, how much energy it took to go through and do those different things. And man, oh man, I wasn't even participating. I judged speech on Saturday morning, but I went and saw a bunch of our kids participate on Friday and Saturday morning, and man, oh man, is it exhausting. So we've got some tired individuals here, so we're going to hopefully keep y'all awake this evening. This evening we're talking about making time for family. Notice I didn't say finding time for family. You don't find time, you make time. And a little bit of a warning before we begin this evening. Some of this may be hard to hear. Some of you may have grandchildren. Some of you may have children that are in college or in high school. Some of you may have very, very small children. And this may hit you a little bit harder because you may be finding out, I know I am, as a father of small children, I'm still figuring it out. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to be figuring it out for a good long while. But tonight I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll even be alluding to our theme verse for Lads to Leaders this year at the end, my final point of this sermon. In the 1994 movie, Star Trek Generations, a couple of you Trekkies out there just did a little inside fist bump there, Captain Kirk is finding retirement a little boring. He's at the launch of the new Enterprise, and he can't believe how young those people are. He can't believe that he sees Sulu, the Asian guy that was at the helm the whole time, that drove the Enterprise, basically. He can't believe he just met his daughter that's 22, 23, 24 years old at the time. And after seeing Mr. Sulu's daughter, he said, "When did Sulu find time for a family?" And Scotty, in his Scottish accent that's very pronounced, of course, he said, "Well, like you always say, sir, if something is important, you make the time." If something is important to us, we make the time to do it, don't we? If sports are important to us, we make sure that we're in front of the TV or we're heading to the stadium for that game. If playing a sport or doing a part of an activity like running or bicycling or any of that kind of things, working out, if that's important to us, if fitness is important to us, we make sure that we're there. If our grandchildren are important to us, we make sure that we go and we see them and that we do those different things. No matter what it is, fill in your blank. Whatever's important to you, you will make the time to do that thing. Our families must be important to us. We must be actively creating opportunities for ourselves to spend more time with our families, to spend more time teaching and nurturing our families. And we've got to be searching out ways constantly to be able to do this. We've got to be firm. We've got to stand up to whatever demands are placed on us. And sometimes we may even need to draw a line and say, no. The question that I'm going to try to answer this evening is, why does it seem so hard these days to make time for our families? Why does it seem so hard today, as busy as we are, as many things as we're doing, as many things as our families are doing, to make time? I asked a lot of people this question, and I got a lot of different varied responses. I'll be sharing a couple of those tonight. Number one, somebody responded and they said, because we don't have our priorities straight. I am a minister. Before that, I was a youth minister. And I had a little bit of a revelation when I took this job at Graymere going on 10 months ago. And I thought, there is nothing busier than a youth minister's job. Nothing more intense. Nothing more labor intensive. No more hours. I've heard so many youth ministers and so many ministers say that ministry is one of the hardest jobs out there that you'll have. Well, I'll say this for youth ministry, though. At least there's a month or two there where there's kind of the designated dead periods. At least you get a little bit of slowness when the kids go back to school and you get a little bit of a break. The thing that I realized when I came and I took this job at Graymere is that the education program just keeps on going. And there is no break in all the different stuff. There is no kind of lull in the schedule. There is something always going on. As a Marine, I was working pretty much almost 18 hours a day at one point. And so I understand demanding jobs a little bit. I understand crazy work schedules. And I understand that sometimes the job just has to get done. And I understand that some of you are tied to your phones like they're parts of your body. Some of you have jobs that are incredibly demanding and intense pressure that you face every single morning that you go into work. I really do understand that. But the time that we're taking away from our families is having long-lasting effects. The time that you're taking away now is going to show up years and years later. Especially on our kids. And like I said before, I'm a relatively new father, so I may not have a lot of practical experience, but I remember working one time with a true workaholic father. He was at the office at 6 a.m. and he sometimes didn't leave until 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. Every day. He was a true workaholic. And in that span, where is the time, if you work 6 to 7 days a week like that, where's the time for your family? Where is the time that you spend with that? His family suffered. His daughters were no longer members of the church. He and his wife's relationship was very, very strained. Parents that make their families a priority have a happier, more spiritually healthy kids. And solutions to making time for families is not what is easy at all. It's not what some people would call a microwave solution. There's no button you can push that's going to instantaneously help you do that. It's more of a crockpot solution. It's going to take a process and some time to develop. You have to work at it. You have to keep trudging. You have to stay on top of it. Our lives and our priorities sometimes look like, or should look like this. Right? We should have God right there at the very top. We should have our family right below God. We should be putting them above our jobs and putting our husbands and our wives above our careers. And then lastly is our profession. Maybe that's what we should have in the third place. But most times it's structured like that. To some people, we put our careers and our job at the foremost of concern, at the top of the list. And then God and the family can fight out for number two and number three. We must make God the priority first, and everything else will fall into place. We must think of church as worship, as essential to our lives, and the first priority to be here. Not just simply another activity to put on the list. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and we'll be referencing Matthew chapter 6, so keep your finger in there again. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Jesus is saying that when we don't put God first, our lives are out of focus. If you've ever been to an optometrist office, if you've ever had to wear glasses, you've been blessed if you've never had to wear corrective lenses of any type, but most of us do. And you don't wake up one morning and your vision is all of a sudden bad and blurry and you have to go get glasses. No, it happens gradually over probably a long period of time. And sometimes we don't notice that our lives are out of focus until it's too late. Until the changes and the concessions are so subtle that we just ignore them. A few hours more a week at work. A missed game or an activity with the kids here and there. And pretty soon you realize that you've missed a whole month's worth of stuff. I admire the company that Apple has built. I admire Steve Jobs and his work ethic and everything like that. But I do not admire the man himself. But in 1997, when he returned to Apple, he simplified a lot of different things. He inherited a disaster. And the stocks were down and the profits were non-existent and they were lackluster and they were spread thin and Jobs wiped the slate clean. He placed all the products on a quadrant. He put it pro, consumer, desktop, and portable. And there were a lot of things that Apple could do. There were a lot of things that they really could do and a ton of things that Jobs said, though, they were not going to do. Because it would detract from their focus on the things that they really wanted to make. And he famously remarked and said, part of focus is saying no. Just because we can do a thing does not mean we must do that thing. And now, 15 years later, Apple still sticks to those same product categories. We need to be able to say no. That's hard for me to say no. It's hard for me to say, nope, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Nope, I'm sorry, that's time with the family, that's this thing or that thing. No will help us focus on what's really important. No means that maybe I won't work late tonight. I'll work again tomorrow. Maybe no means that I won't take on too much. I will say no to my employer if I can, by piling on more and more. No means I won't sacrifice weekends to be at the office. No means I won't make promises that I can't keep to my family. That's incredibly important. No means I won't compromise when it comes to making my family's needs a priority and their spiritual development a priority. No means I won't make my career more important than my children. Sometimes saying no can be incredibly powerful, and in a sense, Matthew 6:33 applies even more here. When we put God first, all other things we say no to. Being close to God will directly impact how close we are to our families. According to Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he says, the essence of effective time and life management is to organize and execute around priorities. So ask yourself, what are my priorities? Is that service to God or something else? Because if I put God first, my family is going to fall right behind that and it's going to fall right in line. Are my children seeing that God is first in my life? Are my grandchildren seeing that God is first in my life? Number two this evening, we use the excuse sometimes and we answer that question because we just think there's not enough time. Well, there's just not enough time. It's not enough time, right? Imagine for a second that you won a contest. You won a contest, but there's a catch. You can only get a certain amount, $10,080, every single week. And after that, it's gone. Every Sunday morning, it gets deposited right into your account. And every Saturday night at 11:59, it is emptied. That account is emptied. And so whether you've spent it or not, you cannot invest this, you cannot save it, you cannot buy stock with it, you can't transfer it. It has to stay there. Well, guess what? You do have $10,080 of something every single week, and it doesn't carry over. It's not dollars, it's minutes. And you choose how to use those minutes every time that big hand takes a lap around the clock. And the question for today is whether or not you are spending those moments wisely or foolishly. And think about the time that you have. You have 1,440 minutes a day, just 60 minutes an hour. What percentage of that do you think that you're spending doing good? What percentage of that is with your family? What percentage of that is preparing your children for the life that they will lead in service to God? We say this a lot. We say that, well, there's not enough hours in the day. Just not enough hours in the day to get done what I want to do. We need to get used to the inevitability of the 24-hour day. Encourage your kids, maybe, to participate in a couple of activities, not 100. Parents, we need to make sure that we're involved too much in those things as well. This goes for first and foremost me, because I am way too involved in a couple of other different things. Parents that have placed other activities over God and church have raised kids to believe that God is not important. And they abandoned God in college. We need to encourage worship and youth activities over extracurricular things now. We need to encourage them to form their own spiritual identities now. We need to pray with our family, not just at the dinner table. We need to pray with our family now. We need to ask hard questions about life decisions and spiritual decisions now. Because later, when the kids are off on their own, they will remember what you have said. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8, is one of the most famous passages that we know, and we know it from the song as well, but it's the time for everything passage. There is a time for everything. And we need to be firm with our time. We need to realize that there is a time for us to put down the devices and the screens and turn off the TV, and a time to just sit with our families at the dinner table and actually talk to our wives and our husbands. Colossians 4:5 tells us that we need to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making best use of our time. Let me ask you a question. How do you start, if you haven't done that before, but how do you start influencing others for Christ? You start with your own family. You start with your own home. You start with those closest to you. That time we have is extremely, extremely valuable. I saw this done as an illustration one time. This guy brought up one of these big, huge things of cheese balls, right? He said, okay, imagine that every single one of these cheese balls, there's about 300, 350 or whatever, imagine that every single one of these cheese balls represents a block of time that you as parents have with your children every year. Imagine that. And then he was obviously a youth minister, and he took 4 cheese balls out and said, this is the time that I have with them. This is the time, and it represents, out of all those cheese balls, it represents that this symbolizes how many hours that your child has here at worship, that your child has with the youth group, that your child has here in actual biblical instruction here. What kind of biblical instruction, what kind of spiritual training are they getting at home? You see, we can't depend on the church to teach our children. Yes, that's what we're here for. But it's up to the parents to help their children to be committed to God. That job is in our homes. And there is a time for everything, as Ecclesiastes 3 tells us. But we're to make the best use of that time while we have these children with us. There's a scary website you can go to, and I actually just thought of it, so I don't have the URL. But when you go and you type in your child's age, it will tell you exactly how many days and hours that you have with them until they are 18 years old. That's scary. We only have a limited block and a limited amount of time to influence our children and our grandchildren in these spiritual training. Number 3, lastly this evening, I think that we can't make time for our families, and we have trouble doing that because we have forgotten where our treasure is. The kids at Lads to Leaders, in fact, you've probably heard it way, way before this. They heard it a bunch of times this weekend. We'll go ahead and read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where neither thieves nor break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We have become, as a society, slaves to the standard. Meaning we see the standard that everyone lives by and we want to keep up. Instead of just keeping up with the Joneses, we want to be the Joneses. Dave Ramsey says this. He says, there is no contentment in the American family anymore. We want to make more money so we can buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. I want to take that one step further. Not only do we want to buy things that we don't need, but we have become slaves to this supposed standard that we're all trying to reach. Jesus explains this very carefully and clearly in Matthew chapter 6. Even 2,000 years ago, Jesus understood the vital relationship, as one author has put it, between gold and godliness. Materialism and living up to some impossible standard is the opposite of spirituality. Jesus is telling us that treasures that we have on this earth are temporary, and the treasures of spirituality of heaven are forever. You know, in that time, money wasn't kept in banks. It was kept in your home. And where we have iPads and nice cars, back then it was nice clothes and jewelry. And you'll see that not a whole lot has changed. Thieves could easily break in and steal those things, steal everything that you had. But Jesus didn't speak out against wealth. He didn't speak out against being secure. He didn't speak out against retirement funds or any of those types of things that we do to make sure that we're taken care of. He only wanted to teach men how to convert their temporary possessions into imperishable ones. So how does this relate to making more time for family? Well, because we seem to live up to this standard, to want to live up to this standard, we have more parents that are working longer hours. And kids are not exempt from this. If you're an older teenager and you have a part-time job, I've seen as a youth minister, I've seen too many kids get consumed with part-time jobs because they're making that money. They need to pay their car insurance or for their car payment or whatever. A good work ethic is one of the most valuable things that you can have in this life. Earning and paying for things is incredibly responsible to do. But having it get in the way of the family of God, to get in the way of you serving Him and His church, is not. We need to stop and take a hard look at what we're doing with our money. Are we worshiping it? Or are we giving it to God? Jesus goes on to say this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We cannot let the accumulation of our wealth become what we worship. We cannot let our standard of living become what is most important to us. And perhaps the most relevant verse is the one that was the theme verse for Lads to Leaders this year, is in verse 21 of Matthew 6. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Plainly spoken, that's whatever's most important to you. That's where your heart is. So, the question that I'm going to leave you with this evening is, what is most important to you? What is most important to you? Making money, being with your family, having recognition, having a great career? What is most important to you? Is it seeing your children grow up in what Lonnie Jones calls a spiritually self-reliant young person? Or is it having a little nicer car to drive or a little nicer house to live in? Our true treasure lies at the dinner table and in the backyard, and on vacations with those that we love. Our true treasure isn't in stuff. It isn't in living up to someone's man-made expectation or standard. It's living up to God's standard. So as we close, to those who have families, to those who have children or grandchildren, I have a couple of suggestions, a couple of kind of duh things that we may not think about, but we kind of look at and see, yeah, that could maybe help. And I've got them here up on the screen. You know, plan to make at least one day a week to spend with your family, even if that is on Sunday. Just one day a week to spend with your family. Make sure that you emphasize, enforce, and encourage a connection with God and the church above all other activities. Cannot emphasize that enough. Number three is very simple. Just pray with your family. Outside of meals, when's the last time you prayed with your family? Number four is also one of those things that you say, well, yeah, of course I listen and talk with my kids. Do you really? When's the last time you did that? Number five is important for me. When you're at home, be at home. I deliberately don't take my computer home with me for that very reason. It's because when I'm at home, I want to be at home. I don't want to be thinking about work. Make sure, number six, above all, that you as parents place God and serving Him above all other things and be the example that you want your kids to be. They will grow up to be like you. Tonight, if you've struggled to give your life and your time to God, you can rededicate yourself tonight. You can come forward, we can pray with you, you can come forward and we can baptize you to be a member of Christ's body. If you haven't yet decided to put Him on in baptism tonight and be washed of your sins to be a Christian and say that I believe in Jesus, you can do that this evening. He died for you. He was resurrected for you. Why don't you come right now while we stand and while we sing this song?
Standing on.